Hello and welcome everybody back to another episode of Pharaoh's Halftime. This is Antonio speaking and...
It's Anton here. What up?
Hey guys, been doing? It's been a couple of days since our last episode and there's been a lot happening.
Indeed it has. Honestly, I'll be honest with you, I haven't paid much attention to the international fallout. I mean, I've said it, I don't like watching international games until the big things show up because it's just... I fear for the players I like, especially the ones on my team, and I do not want them to get injured. And every time I've watched an international game with my years of watching football, they've gotten injured. So I've made it my mission not to watch
international. Unless it's like
a big thing.
A big thing, yeah.
Yeah, unless it's a big thing that I'll watch. But if it's like a regular friendly, like between Belgium and, like, for example, like Gibraltar or something, I'm not going to waste my time. I'd rather do other things. That's just the way it is.
And then you don't want Belgium in any friendlies because your boy Hazard.
That... But I wouldn't mind. True. That is true. But I wouldn't mind if Thibaut Courtois got kicked in the face once in a while.
You're still salty about that.
I will always be salty about that. And I'm not gonna even lie. Another person who could get it stuck to him: Marouane Fellaini, Jan Vertonghen.
Jan Vertonghen? That's my boy. We can't lose him.
Toby Alderweireld, he can go too. Vincent Kompany, he gotta
chill,
go.
Chill. Back it up.
Romelu Lukaku, I used to like him. He was on Everton. I was having high hopes for him, but he pulled the ill F-boy move and moved to Man U to the coach who sold him. Mind you, back when he was back at Chelsea.
Yeah,
whatever though. It is what it is.
And that's ironic, also, because I always found it funny how Mata, when he was originally on Chelsea, got sold when Mourinho was coach, and then he ended up at Man United. You know, and Mourinho, they hired Mourinho, and back to the same relationship.
Yeah.
Great. Sorry, Juan Mata. I really like you as a player.
I like him too. Mata, he's a great player. Same thing with Matic. Matic, last time he played for Mourinho, he got subbed in, couldn't complete a pass, subbed out after like 15 minutes. That's the most embarrassing thing that could happen to a footballer.
Yeah.
And then this guy, Matic, just ups and forces his way out of Chelsea to go back to Mourinho. I feel like this guy, Mourinho, is like, he's like an abusive boyfriend. Like with a really, like, who's a really good lover.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like a bad relationship. They just, these chicks, like, they'll go back to this guy who keeps abusing him and treating him like shit. That's what these soccer players do. They go back to the guy who treated him like shit. I don't get it, nor will I ever. But you know what? God bless these morons.
Ladies, whoever ladies are listening to this podcast.
I'm not sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. This is America. Man. It's 2018. My First Amendment rights. Get to it. You want to be a snowflake? Go somewhere else. I don't know what to tell you. Trump's president now.
Anyway, let's focus back. Oh, what was I going to say about Mata? Oh, he reminds me. He's always, his playing style has always reminded me of our good friend Peter Hanna. I don't know if you see it or not, but I see it because like Juan Mata isn't going to do like all these like tricks and flicks like Beto does, but. His like technical side of the ball, like what his vision, his passing, I feel like is identical.
Yeah, I see that. You know? I see that. They got the hair for it too. I see that.
And they take a nice free kick. Shout out to Peter. So unlike you,
who made fun of us for making this podcast, but it is what it is.
And said cute.
Yeah,
we shouted you out, Peter. Happy?
For the record, I did not shout him out. He did.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
I did. So,
yeah. I'm still salty over that.
You're welcome, Peter.
PC principal ass nigga.
Anyway, unlike you, I did actually tune into the international, the remainder of the international break. And there was a lot of things that I wanted to mention here, like Italy's first win in almost a year.
Yeah, man. What's going on with that team? They finally did it. And of all people to score, it was a left back. Not your strikers, not your midfielders, not your wingers.
Yep.
A left back had to come in and score a header. What was it?
It wasn't a header. It was off of a corner. I think somebody flicked it on from a header, and he just like tapped it.
There we go.
Out.
Yeah, there we go. We got the correction over here. It was like what the late stage, right?
The referee gave +3, and they scored in like 92 and change.
Yeah, the Italians.
So what I liked about that is that obviously it gives the Italians a big boost in confidence, but. The way they celebrated the goal, especially like how ironic from a left back, Baraghi, it reminds me of how Grosso hit that winning penalty in 2006 to win them the World Cup, and the Italian players just running and flipping out with excitement.
The fans celebrating too.
I remember I was in Bay Ridge at the time, and all the Italians honking their horns.
Oh, and, that was a riot right there. Yeah. It was a riot.
Good times. But yeah, that was good to see from the Italians to get their first win in a year. Hopefully they're back to like their old Italian, you know, like Euro 2012 and, you know, they just Italy 2006.
They just need to fix that number nine problem they have.
I agree.
Here's the thing. They just need to find a system that works. They do have quality in Italy that play number nine.
They have great quality.
They have Immobile.
Mm-hmm.
They have...
Who are not the first time we're mentioning him on this podcast.
They have Belotti.
Again, great striker.
And my boy, the man.
Don't say Balotelli.
The myth, the legend, Balotelli. Balo forever.
I was always a fan.
I like him. He's
just got that like psychotic factor, yeah.
And I love it. And there's so many if you look at Balotelli stories online, you hear some of the most obscene things. Like there was one incident where Balotelli apparently was walking on the street, and a kid. This is when he was playing on Manchester City. So also these stories, take them for a grain of salt because don't believe everything you read on the internet. But this is worth mentioning.
Yeah.
So Balotelli's walking on the street. Manchester, he sees a fan, says that he's getting bullied in school. So he's like, take me to those kids. And apparently Balotelli walks up to these kids and threatens them.
What?
He threatens them.
I actually never heard of this.
And then he gave the kid who was getting bullied a Why Always Me shirt and a Manchester City jersey. They get
the
How are you going to be a professional and threaten a bunch of little kids? Yeah. I mean, that's why the stories I've seen, but If it is indeed true, I would believe it.
I mean, that story would fit a character like Balotelli.
Oh, my God. I would believe it.
Balotelli. We're still shouting you out on your crazy hairdos.
I love him. I think he's castrated.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Rodgers really castrated the guy.
Yeah.
He ruined him. I mean,
I wouldn't say ruined because, like, when he was at Liverpool and Brendan Rodgers was the coach, I feel like he was trying to make him into, like, the complete striker. Because I remember on Liverpool, Balotelli would be defending corners.
Yeah.
And you look at Balotelli now, he's not defending no corners.
No, he
doesn't even cross the halfway line.
Exactly.
He's always on the attacking side.
Exactly. So, he loves to attack.
I think because of that, like, Balotelli, I don't know if he couldn't handle it or, like, he didn't like it. It just didn't
He just didn't
out.
Like, no, I don't yeah. think he, and he also didn't like, apparently he just didn't get along with Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers tried to comment on his ad. He tried to do what no coach had the guts to do.
Yeah.
Control Balotelli's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That backfired horrifically.
Yep.
He only scored one goal out of, like, what, 20 games estimating playing for Liverpool?
So I know exactly which one because it came against Spurs.
Yep, of course.
And it was like a 2-1 winner. Great. And it came at the last minute.
Battle forever.
Don't remind me. Anyway.
Battle forever.
another striker that I thought played very well this weekend was my boy Harry Kane. Why? Because he absolutely tore apart the Spanish defense when they went to Spain and they were leading 3-0 in the first half and they ended up winning 3-2. So shout out to my boy Kane. Shout out to England for getting that very impressive
win. You gotta give it up to Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, he showed up.
He showed up. I mean, say what you want about the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate him too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the rest of the English media and probably everyone who's not a Liverpool fan, Manchester City fan. The thing with Raheem Sterling is, like, he's just an unlikable guy, but, like, he shows up when he needs to.
He's a great player under Pep Guardiola.
Pep changed him,
and I think the fact that he's changing him, we're only going to see
the best is yet to come.
Exactly,
the best is yet to come for Sterling,
and he's still so young. What is he, like, 24, 25?
Yeah, he's still
that?
A baby. Under Rodgers, he was starting to develop.
Yeah.
Under Pellegrini, he was a bit stunted. Mm-hmm. Well, then again, Pellegrini's a good coach, but, like, the team he had, he just depended on. He was loyal to the older players.
Was he in Pellegrini's squad?
He was in Pellegrini's squad.
He was in
Pellegrini's squad for 2 years. Then, one year.
One year.
Then Pep came in.
Yeah.
And that the first year under Pep, he wasn't doing too good because I guess he was just adjusting to Pep's system. He was adjusting to a new style of football.
Yeah.
So it took some time. And the same thing could be said for the rest of Manchester City. It took time for them
to be full blown. Crazy team
that they were last season,
yeah.
So
shout out to England, yeah,
and don't forget my boy, John Cena, aka Ross Barkley. He looks like John Cena.
I never thought of it.
The Chelsea players have an inside joke saying, "I can't see this player. Who is this?" And then they'll have, like, if you see it go on their Snapchat or their Instagram stories, they'll have, like, a picture of John Cena.
You can't see me.
Yeah. So shout out to my boy John Cena. He showed up in the midfielder.
Yeah, and I think it's because of Sarri, because he's gonna finally been giving him minutes.
He's been giving him minutes. Mm-hmm. He's been giving Loftus-Cheek minutes. But the thing about Loftus-Cheek is it's just the guy is just so damn injury prone. It's unfortunate in this case.
He could eventually be like a Lampard-esque player, but and I really like his style of play.
Yeah,
give him time.
Yeah, I have high hopes for the midfielders at Chelsea, the midfielders of England. I mean, the defense is stop. The defense is still solid. Who's the coach again? Gareth Southgate is doing is that he's not depending on the big six teams.
No.
He's taking up players from Leicester.
Yeah. Burnley,
Watford. Mm-hmm. And he even took players from the championship. He took Mason Mount, a Chelsea loanee, is playing on the Lampard right now.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is he's a high prospect in the Chelsea Youth Academy.
Yeah.
He called him up to the England national team.
And the young prospect on Dortmund, Jordan Sancho.
Sancho. I forgot. Yeah, he called him up too. So I like what Southgate is doing with this team. And
he's preparing them.
FA can't screw this up because he's a once-in-a-lifetime coach.
Yeah.
He's a once-in-a-lifetime coach. And, well, the FA being the FA, they're going to screw this up one way or another. They're going to listen to the media. Mm-hmm. And be like, they're going to take the media's representative of the people.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get sacked, but if the worst comes to worst, and we're not saying now prediction wise,
mm-hmm.
if Southgate does get sacked, he won't have any shortage of jobs waiting for him.
No, absolutely not. And it would have been actually awesome if it actually did come home in the summer in the World Cup. That would have been lit. but moving on to another topic besides. Besides Italy and England, Germany lost again.
They're done.
You think so?
This crop of the squad
uh-huh.
is done. It's high time to move away from Manuel Neuer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
Ever
since his injury, yeah.
Yeah, he's not the same since that broken foot. I don't think he trusts his leg anymore.
Give the number one goalkeeping spot to Ter Stegen for crying out loud.
He's more than proven his worth. The guy has won Champions League, La Liga. He won it all at Barcelona. What more do you want from
guy? He's like top five keepers right now in the world. Like, what are you doing? I don't get it.
Time to move away from Boateng.
Yeah, I think they need to do kind of like what England's doing and just like throw everybody out and kind of start fresh.
Exactly.
But it's okay. It happens with every international team.
Yeah, they've been the most consistent top five for the past 10, 15 years, so they're still going to be in the talk, but I'm just saying this current crop of squad they have.
Their time's up. Yeah.
It's just not clicking for them anymore. And I guess they've lost a bit of chemistry or the racism factor has hit up again because ever since the Ozil thing,
mm-hmm.
he had to retire due to alleged racism from the German German FA. So, and you have players like Toni Kroos defending the FA saying this never happened.
Yeah.
And you have players like Rudiger saying this did happen. So I guess there's
a like not good like foundation in the camp right now.
There's not a good foundation. The locker room is probably toxic at best.
Yeah.
So it's good to focus on the young players. Focus on the Timo Werners.
Yeah. Julian Brandt.
On the Brents. Yeah. On keep veterans that everyone likes, like a Royce, for example.
Yeah.
I don't care
how he's never really had like a good run with Germany because of his injuries.
He has never, but he's a very likable guy. And he has what it takes to
bring him that like captaincy, like leadership.
Yeah, he has a leader quality. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say build a team around Royce, but of the veterans, I choose him to stick around with this group of players and still keep
Hummels a good player.
Hummels is good. Keep what's his? Oh my god, I can't even think of his name right now.
Where's the position?
Keep Müller.
Oh, Müller.
Keep Müller. He's still very young. He's had a bit of a bad form because change of coaches will do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I guess he's used to still playing that who was the coach of Bayern before he left and Pep came in? And he came in last year. Keep forgetting his name. I'm forgetting everyone's name today.
It was that really old coach.
Yes. Giuseppe Heinekes.
Yeah.
Heinekes. Yeah.
Your Pinkins.
However you pronounce
Heineken.
It. Heineken, Heineks.
I need a Heineken right now.
whatever. I feel like Müller's so used to playing his style that like all these change and Pep style.
Mm-hmm.
That like he's I think he's maybe tired of changing styles too much.
I hear you. So we'll see. We'll give Germany their time. We've seen it with Spain and they're, you know, falling apart. We've seen it with all the big teams that go through this rough patch.
Also, I just want to rewind back to the England-Spain thing. Yeah. My comments about Spain sucking have been vindicated. Yes, you can pass 1,000 times. You can play beautiful football. But at the end of the day, that W counts.
That's true.
That goal counts.
Give them time. Everybody needs time. No, you gave up on Spain. No,
all right, I hate Spain.
Give up on Spain and Germany. All right. What about giving up on Brazil, who won against Argentina in Super Clásico? One zip, Miranda towering header at the end.
I didn't watch too much of that game. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, but I never doubted Brazil. They just need Neymar to act like an adult a bit.
Yeah, I feel like Brazil are kind of unlucky. In a way, because like I think now that they finally found like their coach and Chichi or Tite or however
Chichi. We'll just pronounce Cha-cha. We'll just pronounce it the old English way. Tite.
Yeah. I think he's a very good coach for Brazil. He's got like a very good mixture of young players versus experienced players. And I think they were kind of unlucky at the World Cup, even though, you know, credit Belgium, they played phenomenal and they beat them in the quarterfinal.
They beat them fair and square, Belgium. You can't even stop them.
Yeah, but sometimes you need that little bit of luck, and I feel like they haven't had that luck, even though they have a complete squad. So to them to get, you know, even though it was a friendly, a one-zip win over your, you know, rivals for, you know, fierce rivals.
Argentina, South American Clásico.
That's always a boost of confidence.
It is a boost of confidence.
So with Brazil, I think with Neymar especially, like, I think he's been doing good with them. I think his stats from Brazil are actually pretty damn impressive.
He just needs to stop. He just needs to just take the hits and keep playing. Stop rolling around for the foul, because now he has a target on his back. And even if he gets a real foul, they're not going to believe him.
The refs are going to overlook it. Yeah,
exactly.
What's that story? A boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, he's a boy who cried wolf. If I was to compare it to an NBA player, who would he be?
NBA player for Neymar?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Who's the biggest baby in the NBA?
Steph Curry?
He's good, though.
He's good. But so is Neymar. Neymar's very good.
No. But he doesn't, like, cry wolf or anything. Steph Curry gets back up on his feet. He's like LeBron.
No. LeBron's...
Miami Heat LeBron, okay? When he would cry foul or when he'd have to get carried out because of cramps.
All right, yeah, okay.
Neymar now is like Miami Heat LeBron.
Okay, I somewhat agree with that. But this is a freaking Farrell's halftime soccer podcast. So go back to soccer.
I'm just comparing it for other viewers.
That's true.
And plus, the NBA season just started 2 days ago, so it's a bit relevant.
Yeah, and LeBron is on the Lakers now. So it's time to change him. What about the funny thing that I noticed in the international break, where in the last podcast, if you listen to it, we mentioned Gibraltar. And how they got their first ever competitive win. And during that game, they messed up their anthem and played Liechtenstein's anthem. They won again. And ironically enough, against guess who?
Liechtenstein. They beat Liechtenstein. So
2 wins in a row. And they got their national anthem right this time. And it probably damn felt good for those players.
Yeah, it probably did. I mean, good for them.
Yeah,
good for them.
And another team that's like building now that, you know, besides like, the Germanys that we think should rebuild, and like the England who's bringing up a young squad.
Most disappointing group of individuals to ever grace this beautiful country.
No, come on, give them some credit. I was gonna ask your opinion on like the current U.S. team and what you think about them and their future and their, you know, how they're going about their business.
I'm gonna wait and see. Mm-hmm. I can't give a concrete opinion. I'm gonna wait and see. I do appreciate them trying to get.
Yeah.
Get young players to play, such as building the team around Pulisic.
Yeah.
Calling up DeAndre Yedlin back into the squad.
Yeah.
Which is great for him because he was a hot prospect back in 2014.
Yep.
Just calling him back to the squad is a big deal.
But he's been in the squad, Yedlin.
He's been in and out. He hasn't been consistently called up to the squad.
But I think he was playing the whole time when U.S. failed to qualify for the World Cup. I'm pretty sure he was in that squad.
I'm pretty sure he didn't play as much, though. He was called up.
But who played right back then? DeMarcus Beasley?
No. It was another guy. It wasn't DeMarcus Beasley. I forgot who it was. We got to look into that. But you don't hear much about DeAndre yet.
No. Even though he scored one Premier League goal this year. I forgot who it was. It was
against Chelsea. No, he's
was it against Chelsea? No.
No. He assisted against Chelsea.
He scored against a big team, and I remember watching it.
Yeah.
It may have been Liverpool.
Maybe.
I don't remember. Anyway.
It's late.
DeAndre legend.
It's late. We didn't – we're tired, and we're doing this for you guys.
Yeah.
Because we love you. Our fans.
So don't mind us when we slip up here and there when, you know, we get a few factual, like –
Because we have one fan who – he's I don't even call him a fan at this point.
No, he's a fan. Don't mess with my boy. All right? He gives us good feedback, and he takes his time, and he listens to the whole thing, and he writes on the little notepad. Okay? All to make this podcast better. So don't talk anything bad about my boy, Floto.
I'm joking. Yeah, okay, get no sensitive rumors over there.
All right. It's my boy.
But, yeah. Here's my thing with the USA team.
Mm-hmm.
I understand he needs a couple of veterans to help these young guys get up and carry the torch,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, but not with Michael Bradley and Brad Guzan. This ain't it, Chief. This ain't it. Michael Bradley is probably the most selfish player on that team. He'd always try.
He's not the player that he used to be.
He's not the player that he used to be. He's an idiot for leaving Roma years ago.
Yeah.
And going to the MLS when he could have been.
He could have kept going.
He could have gone the distance, but he chased the money.
Yeah.
And he's never.
I don't know about money in MLS though. I'm sure it wasn't a big money move to MLS.
No, he had deep. I think he had a designated player contract.
So you don't think he had like a pay cut to come here? I'm sure sort of a pay cut.
No, he was probably
in Roma.
He was definitely he was playing in Roma. And they had that financial issue at the time.
So, oh yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Yeah, so Michael Bradley is just the type of player who's just selfish. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pass the ball often. He wants to take matters into his own hands. If I were to compare him to a basketball player, he is Carmelo Anthony, past his prime, doesn't know when to retire, and it's just more of a hindrance than an asset to his team.
Yeah,
he's got to go.
I definitely agree with you that his, you know, his prime is in the past and he's not as effective as he used to be. But I feel like he's good now for the team because especially that they're bringing in all these young players. He's somewhat of a leadership because he's been on the national team for X amount, like so many years now, that like these younger players can look up to him and be like, I'm going to be the captain of this team in the future, you know? So I feel like in that sense, during this time, good, but like, come the World Cup in 2022, he's definitely not going to be there.
Also, Brad Guzan, I get that he has experience mm-hmm. playing in the Premier League and everything.
Yeah.
But how old is he? He's like in his late 30s now?
I think so, like 35 or something like that.
He's not the guy you want to build up as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You want to get someone young and get them as much exposure.
They have. I think the guy's name is Jack Steffen, the new keeper. Yeah,
keep playing him.
Yeah,
don't play Guzan at all.
Yeah.
Don't play him.
Maybe it's also like something similar to what I said about like Bradley. Some sort of like, you know, leadership and, you know, experience to like teach the younger guys like how it's done, even though they didn't do
I
so hard.
I feel like that could have been better. I mean, Clint Dempsey's retired though due to a heart condition. So I was that he would have been the first person on my pick to like keep on the national team.
Of course. Call back Landon Donovan for goddammit.
I could see Landon Donovan as a coach.
That'd be pretty cool.
I could see him in the coach in the future. If he doesn't want to do punditry, he'd be a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
But in regards to this U.S. national team, they got beat up by Colombia a few days ago.
No, what? Oh yeah, we mentioned that.
That was the
beautiful curler that
yeah.
your favorite player James scored.
I hate a lot of players, guys. But yeah, it's just I'm a wait and see kind of guy
about the USA future.
Yeah,
I think it's very good because like I think they couldn't have like fallen at a better time. You know, I mean, maybe one can argue that like if they got to the 2018 World Cup, they would have gone far because of how many upsets there were. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was a good time for them to fall because, you know, come the 2022 World Cup, they're going to be now having all these players having like 3 to 4 years of experience under their belt and ready to go for a big competition. And I think in the even before the World Cup, there's the CONCACAF Gold Cup, which they'll get some experience in also. So
then there's a Confederations Cup right before the World Cup, so they can get in that.
So you have possible two major competitions before the World Cup that they could get some exposure to, on top of World Cup qualifying, which is very important, obviously. So I'm liking it because their average age is like 20, 21.
Yeah.
So by the time the World Cup comes, everyone's going to be in their mid-20s, like literally in their prime, ready to go. So I have high hopes for the U.S. in the future.
Let's just never call. Let's just promise that. I just hope they just never call Jozy Altidore again. he ain't it, Chief.
He ain't it, huh?
No.
I think we covered everything for international break.
Yeah, thank God that's over. Yeah. I hate the international break. Let's get back to the real stuff. The meat and potatoes. Club football.
So what do you think? What's been happening in the club world so far, even though the international break's been happening?
So on the rumor mill, apparently Real Madrid has stepped up its chase for Antonio Conte.
Yeah, we mentioned that last episode
this
too.
This time it's more serious. They have contacted him again.
Mm-hmm.
They're just waiting on Conte's payout negotiations with Chelsea because they still haven't paid the poor man out.
Yeah,
they're just paying him out monthly, which is a bit ridiculous. I'm pretty sure eventually Chelsea will pay the man out and he'll go to Madrid. I would love for him to go to Madrid because
hope that Hazard doesn't go with him, right?
I don't think Hazard wants to play for him anymore.
Really?
He played him too much as a false nine and Hazard hated it.
Mm.
Like, besides Hazard saying he would work with Mourinho again, he said that he loves playing football under Conte and it's the way he's always wanted to play at Chelsea.
Huh.
So I don't understand if you're going to bring this guy in who played that negative football you hated so much, why you would leave.
Follow him
while the club that you're playing for right now gets you the coach that plays the football you desire.
Yeah, and he's in rare hot form now.
Yeah, so, and right now, Hazard's new Chelsea contract is the club's number one priority.
I'm sure, bro. If I had Hazard on my team.
The club director, I think the CEO or the director, whatever, some high-ranking position, came out saying today that Bruce Buck, he came out saying that the contract is number one priority and they will do whatever it takes to keep him here at the club and keep him happy. I mean, give him that goddamn Alexis Sanchez money.
Yeah.
You just give it to him. The man deserves it. How many times has he pulled
Chelsea through?
Yeah. Give the man the money he desires.
Mm-hmm.
And his contract is probably he's mentioned it a number of times in several interviews that he wants to stay, but Chelsea have to show the same commitment that he does. He wants.
Yeah.
He wants the players that can compete for a Champions League, can compete week in and week out in the Premier League and all the other cup games.
Yeah.
He wants that team. He wants to stay at Chelsea and he wants to win big at Chelsea. I mean, we won Premier Leagues, we won FA Cups, we won Carabao Cups.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hazard just wants the big one.
The big one, which I think this season for Chelsea is going to be crucial for him to stay or not. So I don't see him, if he does leave, I definitely don't see him leaving in January.
No.
100% he would leave in the summer if he does. And that's all. I think it's all based on how Chelsea do this year. If Chelsea stay top three, make the Champions League first because they're in the Europa League now, and that's just way below Chelsea's standards. I know they won it a few years ago, but Chelsea's Chelsea. You know, we've got to give them respect. But if Chelsea at least don't win, if they don't make top four already, he's gone. That's the number one priority.
Exactly.
And if they don't if they're in the title race and they're so close but don't win it, that can be a factor. Even though they made top four, but he wants to win Premier League.
He wants to win Premier League again.
And I'm sure he would appreciate the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, given that he actually scored the winning penalty to win the FA Cup last year. It's a make or break season for Chelsea.
It is a make or break. Yeah, as far as if we lock him down right before the Christmas time.
Oh, that'll be great.
Christmas gift. I don't need a Christmas gift this year. I got all I wanted for Christmas. My Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle. Everybody, Hazard's staying.
Let's wait and see till Christmas time. See if there are any advanced talks for that. What about Liverpool's injury crisis? I mean, it's not really a crisis. I wouldn't call it a crisis, actually. I take it back. I would call it a dilemma.
They do have a dilemma.
Go ahead.
Sadio Mane had his surgery on his hand.
Yeah, but I think he still might play. And they just want to cast him up.
I mean, if he falls and lands on the hand.
True, it might be risky.
So I think he might make maybe a 85th minute appearance.
Yeah.
Kick the ball here and there. Just get his applause from the fans.
They are versing Huddersfield away, and they have a pretty poor defense, so
there won't be, even if they start a front three of Solanke.
No, not even, bro. They could do Salah, Firmino, and Shaqiri.
Well, Salah trained him and Van Dijk, who got injured during the break.
Yeah,
they trained fully today, but they're still not sure if they're 100%. 50-50. Yeah, it's still 50-50, but they trained in full today.
Yeah,
Milner still unknown after he left that he left the Manchester City game early.
Yeah.
Naby Keita left there. Unfortunately, he had a hamstring strain. He left his international game 30 minutes early.
Was that Guinea? Is he playing for Guinea?
I think he plays for Guinea.
Update on also Spurs injury. Now Spurs have an injury crisis. We've been missing.
You guys are just fatigued.
That's true, but we've been missing Dele Alli. We've been missing. We just got back Lloris. We've been missing Eriksen. We've been missing Moussa Dembele, like key midfielders.
Yeah, guys are missing a lot of key players,
like that. You know, make the midfield tick. But there's. I read an article today saying that Moussa Dembele and Eriksen are going to be available for Saturday's London Derby against West Ham, which I'm really looking forward to. Actually, that's a big game this weekend.
It is. We have a lot of big games this weekend. All across the leagues.
Mm-hmm. Since we're talking about it, West Ham Spurs, what do you think about that?
I think Spurs is going to take it still, even though they're a bit like...
It's an away game for Spurs, but I agree. I think they're going to go out there and maybe 2-1 win.
2-1 win, maybe a late 1-1 throughout the whole game, maybe a last-minute goal.
Yeah, or like your boy Eriksen screamer.
If only you people had a camera to see my facial expressions right now. So every time someone mentions Eriksen and a screamer.
Yeah, listen to our pilot study and you'll know how much Anton loves Eriksen. But
I love him so.
Yeah. So I do think Spurs are going to get the win. And I think it's a crucial 3 points since we're only 2 points off the top. So I don't think we could drop points this weekend.
No, I don't see it happening. Unless
West Ham, like, you know, get their shit together and it has to be the freaking weekend that they're versing Spot Tottenham.
Yeah.
I watched them win, like, 3-1 and, like, Arnautovic goes off and Chicharito comes off the bench and, like, brings back his Manchester United days. Of course, that would happen, you know, with Spurs. But we'll see.
I dislike Chicharito so much. I dislike. He always shows up against Chelsea. It's the most infuriating thing in the world. It is so infuriating.
Another big game was Chelsea Manchester United. That's a huge game.
It is a huge game. I'm saying it. This is a perspective from a Chelsea fan.
Mm-hmm.
2-1.
For Chelsea, obviously.
2-1 for Chelsea. Our defense sleeps sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rudiger, he's an absolute unit.
Mm-hmm.
Azpilicueta is still getting used back to playing right back as he played it back in his Marseille days. Because don't forget, he played left back a lot in Chelsea before he moved to that right center back role under Conte.
Mm-hmm.
And Alonso, I think he just got the rest he needed for the international break because he didn't play much.
He did play against Spain.
He did
play. I mean, he did play against England, sorry.
But only one game. He only played for one game, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he played the other game. But, no, I think he played. Actually, no, he didn't play. I think he did play because Enrique doesn't like Jordi Alba.
So I'm pretty sure he played both games. I know he played 100% against England. Yeah,
he did play 100% against England. But
so maybe not rest, as you said.
No, he's not rested. But the thing is, Alonso's not as – he's a great left back, great mm-hmm. shooter. He's just not as fast as you would want him to be.
Yeah, but the other parts of his game, like, make up for it.
I mean, are we going to see prime Alexis Sanchez this game, or is he going to get bossed around in the back by Luis and Alonso? I don't know. I don't know. It's anyone's guess. Lukaku, I think Rudiger can more than handle him.
Mm-hmm.
Rudiger's an absolute unit.
He is kind of underrated. I have to watch more of him.
He's a beast. I love him. Favorite Chelsea player. He took Bratislav's number 2
mm-hmm.
and just
took over.
He took over that number. I mean, he brought honor to Bratislav's number 2.
Yep.
I don't know.
Question though. Sorry to interrupt you. Is Rudiger's current play better than Branislav Ivanovic speaking English?
Current play?
No, like his current form. Is it better than, like, how we're always appreciate Branislav Ivanovic's English? Because that video when...
Oh, yeah. It's horrific. Jeez. You just see Hazard losing it.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, just go on YouTube and type in Branislav Ivanovic speaks English.
You'll get a good laugh.
You'll get a good laugh. And just Eden Hazard's reaction is just fantastic.
And his laugh when he does it is just so contagious.
Yeah, it's one of those laughs where he's gasping for air. You think he's having an asthma attack.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, man. But yeah, Rudiger is a very underrated defender.
Yeah, so I think he's more than able to handle Lukaku.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Mourinho's going to play on the left. I don't know if he's going to play Martial or Rashford.
I think he's going to play Rashford only because Rashford also had a very good game for England. I think he's picking up that form. And that's why I think actually that might be the difference maker in this game.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. If Chelsea, I think Chelsea will just edge it out 2-1. But if Rashford has a good game, I think he could change the game and either pick up a point or win.
Yeah.
So it all depends on, like, those, like, you know, 50-50 balls and, like, what some yeah. weird deflection that might happen. How any game is decided, yeah. really. But it's going to be very close.
It is a very close game. In terms of the midfield, it's going to stay your typical
4-3-3.
Your 4-3-3, Kante, Jorginho, and
Barkley or Kovacic?
It's going to be a very physical game.
Yeah.
I feel like
that he should slot Barkley in there.
Barkley will be more than able to handle, I mean, fighting with Pogba, Matic, and Fred in the midfield, mm-hmm. Battling out with them. But I feel like for a game, like maybe bring in Kovacic in like the 60th minute, try to bring him, tactically change the game, try to make it more free-flowing.
Yeah, and like get the passes in
when the opposition's tired on legs. In terms of striker, well, the front three is going to be the right, left is going to be Hazard, of course.
Of course.
Right?
Willian?
For a game like this, he may put Willian for defensive purposes.
Because he tracks back. Pedro doesn't track back.
He does, actually. He does, Pedro, no, Pedro's a hard worker.
He hustles.
Pedro is very underrated. He hustles. He'll track back. He'll attack like he wants to. Willian dribbles too much.
No,
Pedro attacks, and he goes for the shot, or if he sees you, he'll give it. Willian takes his sweet time,
uh-huh.
trying to like dribble, do some Brazilian flair on it. Uh-huh. Sometimes it just doesn't work. You gotta get, and you're on limited time. You have to get rid of the ball and get the goal.
True, but some plays he'll pull off that Brazilian magic and get you that game winning assist.
Exactly,
you know? So I think if I was sorry, I'd start Willian, and if you need it, bring on Pedro as a super sub.
All right, you know, I could take it, but I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Pedro
as a start.
Mm. The striker, as much as I love my boy Alvaro, and I'm happy that he's finally getting his goals again.
Yeah.
I think a game of this caliber he's going to have to start Giroud because he's got the headers.
Yeah.
He's got the physicality of it.
He does link up play a lot.
He links up with Hazard, loves linking up with him.
Yeah.
You could tell by the way they play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Morata, his link up play is good. Don't get me wrong, but he falls too easily.
Yeah.
And in a game like this, we can't have that happening.
He's not as physical. But
exactly.
Again, if Giroud starts, some good, you know, he's a great super sub. Also,
yeah.
He could get you that, like, classic Azpilicueta, get on the back of Azpilicueta's cross.
That's Morata.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, if Morata comes in, he could get on that Azpilicueta cross and score the winner.
That's how we won last year.
Yeah.
I remember Bleacher Report, after that goal, Bleacher Report came out with a Jordan symbol, but with Morata.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just with the head on his ball.
So that I think that's going to be a great and that's a 7:30 in the morning, by the way.
Oh my god! Why?
Hey,
why?
Man, I'll come over here and we'll watch it together
because
West Ham Spurs starts at 10, so we could do like a whole.
Good luck waking my ass up for that.
Oh god! All right, I'll watch it that one.
just wake me up. Just call me and wake me up and see how I feel.
Come on, as a true Chelsea fan, you should be up at 7:30.
I am up. Okay, don't get me wrong. I am up,
uh-huh.
but like I'm struggling to pay attention.
It's all right. When there's 7:30 Spurs games. I make sure I literally roll out of the bed at 7:25 and I'm in front of the TV at 7:30 with one eye open, one eye closed. But I'm watching.
Yeah, no, I'll watch it. I'll probably just go up on the couch upstairs with like a blanket and a pillow and just like listen to the TV.
And then that way during halftime, it's probably around like 8:30, 8:45. Get your coffee get your breakfast. You have your own Pharaoh's halftime.
It's true. This is true.
It's
very true. Smart. I didn't even look at it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time when I was working all the time, like even though Saturday games were on and like Chelsea played a lot of 7:30 games, I just needed to sleep. Like my body wasn't. There are just sometimes when the needs of your body outweigh the needs of your passions and your vices.
Yeah.
And just sometimes I could live with watching the game. I could DVR the game and just watch it after.
And watch it after. Just turn off your notifications.
Exactly. That's what I do. That's what I do because sometimes like I just need to rest and like it's not worth getting not feeling okay, not feeling well and everything.
True, but you're gonna immediately regret it if you don't wake up and it's like a 4-4 game, which does happen.
Oh, it does. Those are great games.
Like, yeah, so we'll see. I'm literally looking forward to that game. Another good shout at the Premier League game is Arsenal versus Leicester
this Monday.
Yeah, they have a Monday Premier League game, and I think that should be an easy win for Arsenal given their current form and strikers like Lacazette and Aubameyang.
It could be really easy for them, or it could be a tough battle for them because Leicester could play very, very defensive.
And then they hit him on the counterattack with Vardy.
Exactly.
But I feel like Leicester, like even though they got like that kid James Maddison, who I'm a fan of, I think they came from Norwich.
Yeah.
They still need like another player that could change a game besides Vardy. Like they had it in Mahrez, but now they kind of lost it. I mean, James Maddison is still young and he's a developing great player.
Yeah.
But if they get somebody to change the game like Mahrez did when, you know, when he was on there, then, you know, I think then they'll give Arsenal a hard time.
But they should have went for Jack Grealish in the summer.
Jack Grealish was linked to Spurs all summer, and I wanted him. And he would have been great for Spurs because he's a young English player, and Poch could have developed him.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got – he wants to stick with that that Aston Villa money. But it's all good.
So, I'm predicting
Maybe like a 3-1 Arsenal.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Arsenal 3, mm-hmm. Leicester 1.
With Lacazette scoring 2?
Lacazette scoring 2. I could see a goal maybe from an Aubameyang.
Uh-huh.
Maybe or Ozil.
Like a defender like Monreal.
Or I could see a, like that. I could see a Xhaka goal.
Yeah, like a 30-yarder that he usually does.
Exactly.
Nice. I think that's pretty much it for the Premier League big games, at least this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Manchester City, what are they playing this week?
I think they might be playing Burnley, is it? I don't even know. Let's check on the app. Hit it. Let's see. Hit the app, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'm
just scroll down.
Yeah.
Manchester City, Burnley. I knew it.
Yeah.
So, and that's a home game, so that should be I wouldn't say easy. I mean, Burnley got 7th place last year, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But they have had the most hot starts to the season. But I think that's really it as far as like Premier League and previewing the big games. Big games across, you know, Europe. We're talking a big game in Spain, first versus second, and first being Sevilla versus second place Barcelona. And I think that's at the Camp Nou. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Barcelona can, you know, I'm sure they're going to show up, but like to see how good Sevilla has been this year and to see what they can do in an away game against the big boys in Barca. I'm predicting a tie, actually. I'm predicting like a 2-2.
I'm seeing a 1-0 for Barca.
Yeah?
I'm seeing a 1-0 for Barca. It's going to be a tough game, but I can see a late winner from Barcelona.
Late? I don't know. Barca always come out like straight out of the guns and like they come out firing, and I think they're going to be ready to go. But I think because Sevilla has been very good this year and they have that fight in them, that like they're going to go 1-0 up Barcelona, then Sevilla are going to tie, and then 2-1, and then Sevilla are going to tie, or like 2-0 up to Barca and then Sevilla tie.
I think Barca is going to try to go all out, but Sevilla is going to be very compact, very organized.
Exactly.
And give them a hard time. And it's only going to be a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some time, but the last moment they're going to score the goal.
They actually got a player that I really like in Quincy Promes.
Yeah,
the Dutch player. He's a very talented right winger. So he can make a difference in that game. What a game to make a difference, right?
Yeah,
against Barca away.
Mm-hmm.
Another huge game is the Milan derby in Italy, Inter Milan versus AC Milan. What do you think about that?
Inter's going to take it.
You think so?
Inter's going to take it. AC Milan haven't been – they're still finding their rhythm, finding the groove. Yeah.
I mean, I think on paper, Inter, I think, have a little bit of a better team on paper.
Oh, 100%. They have a better team. 100%.
You know, and they are in the Champions League, and given, you know, my time and my hard time, thank you very much, Inter. But but I always like watching those, like, big Italian Serie A games.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a packed out San Siro, 80,000-plus people – should be a great game.
Should be a great game.
And I've personally been at the San Siro, and what a stadium, man. Yeah. I mean, nobody was in there because it was a stadium tour, but I could only imagine what it is with 80,000 Italian fans screaming their lungs out at an Italian derby.
Yeah.
I want to go.
I could see it being Inter 2, AC Milan 0.
I wouldn't give them a shot. Like, I could see why you're giving AC Milan no goals. But mind you that they bought Higuain, and he is a proven goal scorer.
He is a proven goal scorer.
So he can pop up with that crucial goal if they need it. And he's the type of guy that in the Serie A, he could score a half chance.
He could.
So if he gets a half chance and buries it, that could win him the point. That could win him the game or get him a point. So I'm not counting out AC Milan, but I'm on paper, Inter do have the better team. So I'm going to think Inter's going to like edge it.
Here's the thing, though. It's gonna be a battle of midfields.
Yeah.
And Inter have a superior midfield compared to AC Milan.
Raja. My boy Raja.
My boy Raja. You have Raja. You have
Brozovic.
Yeah.
Gagliardini.
There you go. You have these guys who are just more, who could tackle properly. They can take the ball better. Uh-huh. And they're just much more, they're better able to control the game.
I could actually say all three of those players that we just mentioned are box-to-box midfielders.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, on like AC Milan, if you compare the midfield, it's like Bonaventura, I think he's more on the attacking side. Because he could actually play like attacking midfield.
He could.
I think the only one that could play like a box-to-box is Kessié.
Kessié? Yeah, he's getting better, Frank Kessié.
Yeah, I mean, he's a low knee, actually. He was originally from Sampdoria, but AC Milan should definitely lock him down on a permanent. I think he's the only one that can play box-to-box.
He is the only one.
So the fact that they have an advantage in the midfield, and that's where the game is won, right?
Yeah,
in the
true. Midfield. And, you know, my boy Trash Yoko ain't going to play that game.
aren't you happy that he left?
Oh, God. He was a night. Yo, his first two games, he was fantastic. And I don't know what happened. He just went to absolute hell at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And then when we were loaning him out, and I'm just like, thank you, God. Like, get this guy out of here.
Maybe a loan move to Milan, and he'll come back stronger.
No, I doubt it, bro. From what I understand, Sarri ain't a big fan of him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Besides, I think that we covered all the big games of the weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Even more bigger games that we didn't even mention is the Champions League, which is restarting on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. And I guess you guys should tune into the next episodes because we'll be probably talking about Champions League next week.
We will be talking about Champions League, our initial thoughts of the Champions League so far, the fixtures, past fixtures, upcoming fixtures, our predictions of the
winner,
round 16, semifinals, quarterfinals, all that good stuff, and the winner, all that good stuff, along with our internet, our transfer rumor follow-ups, and our fallouts from the games from the games that just passed, and the and our predictions on the upcoming games.
Thank you guys again for joining us on another episode of Pharaoh's Halftime. We really enjoy you listeners out there, and you know, keep spreading the word. You know, we're just two guys talking about soccer and how much you know, we enjoy doing this. Anton, any other wrapping up comments?
No, man. I mean, we want to thank all of our listeners so much. It means the world to us when you give us your feedback and just supporting us, just liking it and applauding it on the Anchor app or listening it through Spotify.
Yeah, now we're on Spotify.
We are on Spotify now. We're trying to get on Apple Podcasts.
We'll get there.
We will be on YouTube soon. I can't give an estimated time, but I do promise by before the end of the year, I will have most of these episodes on YouTube in case Anchor isn't your thing or Spotify isn't your thing. You'll have another platform to access this content on. And I just want to thank you all so much for tuning in and for spreading the word.
Till next time.
Have a blessed day.